The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
If you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the fifth chapter, I want to read to you verses 38 down through verse 42. And as you're turning there, the subject I want to talk to you this morning is the disciples' Bill of Rights. If you know, you've been listening for a number of months, I've been preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and we talked about how in the first part of Matthew, where he says, blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, so forth and so on, it's like the preamble to the constitution of the kingdom of Christ. And you'll find Jesus giving detailed explanations about the true meaning of the law. He gives that preamble there, and then throughout the rest of the part of the chapter, he's telling you that you've heard what has been said in old time, you know, this or that, and then he explains it. He gives you the true meaning of the law. And I think what you'll find here in verse 38 down through 42 is the disciples' Bill of Rights. You know how we have a Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution years and years, centuries ago, had to do with the Bill of Rights and what the personal rights of an individual citizen are for as a citizen of the United States. And here, I want you to notice that Jesus addresses four basic rights. And he addresses the right of personal respect, the right of personal justice, the right of personal liberty or freedom, and the right of personal property. And I want you to see what he says about the disciples, the one who is a citizen of the kingdom of Christ, what he tells us about our Bill of Rights here. Let's read verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, that whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. First of all, you find Jesus addressing the issue from the Old Testament, the law of retaliation and revenge. That is what he is addressing, the law of retaliation and revenge. I'll just tell you where it is. You can go and read that later. I won't take you to all the parts, but Exodus 21 and 24, Leviticus 24 and 20, and Deuteronomy 19. And this is what it says, basically, that life will be given for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe, blemish for blemish, breach for breach. And in Deuteronomy 19, it goes a step further and says that if a neighbor testifies falsely against a neighbor, say they're trying to take their land or something, and they have a trial and it shows that that neighbor did it falsely, then it says that neighbor who was a false witness, it would be done unto them as they had sought to do. So they'd lose their land that they were trying to maybe dispute about a border or something. You see, this was the law of retaliation. And somebody says, somebody who has a vengeful spirit, you know folks like that? They're always walking where they're feeling out on their sleeves and daring you to bump into it. I tell you, those are the most miserable people that I have ever encountered in my life. They've always got the law of retaliation and revenge at the forefront of their mind. If you do me wrong, I'm going to get you back. And they are miserable people because they don't understand what these folks here in this day didn't understand. The law of retaliation and revenge was not a permission to go and get your pound of flesh. It was a limitation on the anger and revengeful spirit of people. You could do no more than remove a brother's tooth if he knocked your tooth out. You couldn't take two teeth out. And also, this is interesting, some of the commentaries that I read stated that if it was a good tooth that was knocked out of somebody's mouth, you know, by whatever, that they could take a good tooth out of the mouth of the person that did it. If it was a bad tooth knocked out of the mouth of someone, the only revenge that could be taken was to take a bad tooth out of that person. You couldn't take their good tooth. You see, it got that detailed. You know, think about it. Somebody's right-handed, and they get their right hand injured so badly or cut off by some attack. And then the other, say the person that attacked them is left-handed. Well, They said, well, I'm going to cut off their good hand. No, they had to cut off their right hand, you see. Can you imagine the details? You don't think it took wise and competent judges in the days of the law to mete out justice in such a way? Somebody gets burned. Somebody takes a big chunk of coal or something in a pot and gets mad and just throws it on somebody's face. And we're talking about Brother Matt, who accidentally got burned. If somebody had intentionally done that to him back in the days of the law, and you could look at him and say, look where he's burned, and then he would have the revenge right of going back to that person and burning them in the same way. But no more. It could be no more. You see, the law of retaliation was a limitation on revenge. Because there's some people, and you know folks like this, that would just take it too far, wouldn't they? I mean, they'd grind them down in the ground until there was nothing left of them. See, because they're so vengeful and so bent on having their pound of flesh. This is not the attitude of the child of God, the disciple of Christ. Now listen, at the same time, don't take it to the other extreme. There have been people who have interpreted this, Christian people that have said, well, this means that if I have to turn the other cheek, that if I'm at home and a burglar breaks into my house, well, then I'll just have to turn the other cheek, invite him to come and sit down and have a meal with me. This is not an addressing self-defense. As a matter of fact, you know what your Savior said about self-defense. He asked Peter, he said, how many swords do you have? And Peter said, we have two. And Jesus said, that's enough. The Lord taught self-defense. This isn't an issue of self-defense here. This isn't to be taken to the extreme, oh, I've got to be a doormat. No, this is a personal attitude of how you view your personal rights in the kingdom of God. The right of personal respect, the right of personal justice, the right of personal freedom or liberty, and the right of your own personal property that you own. See, how do we know that? Read the text. Jesus says in verse 39, I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. You might even say this is dealing with bullies. And I want to say this too. I want to speak also, not just to the older ones. I want to speak to the children too, because a lot of these issues that you'll find about your personal rights will carry you right down into your playroom. Especially that right of personal property, right? Come into the playroom and there's two little toddlers duking it out over a doll or a little matchbox car. It's mine, you see? These rights that are detailed here and how we should view our rights go all the way down into the playroom or to the classroom if you're in school or to your interactions. At all ages, this applies. And oh, what a sweet, sweet influence this will be if we take this attitude on and incorporate it into our lives. We've already seen how Jesus is concerned about every little word that we say. We talked about that the last time we spoke on this. He's concerned about every little word that we say. And yes is good enough. If you want to bind yourself just saying yes or saying no, that's good enough for Jesus for you to bind yourself. You don't have to swear an oath. And here when it comes to your personal rights, he says this, whosoever shall smite thee, you know, that's the right of personal respect. I mean, what would you think if you saw two people, somebody just walk up and just, bam, just slap them. The slap in the face, that's a phrase that we know. How would you feel about that if you saw somebody do that or it happened to you? That was one of the greatest insults in the Jewish culture, was somebody to be slapped in the face. Whenever we were in New Orleans about to go on our 20th anniversary cruise with all the kids, you know, New Orleans is an interesting town. And as we were driving in there to where the dock was, we were just sitting in traffic and looked over and there was a couple of homeless people over there. And I just looked over and all of a sudden the homeless man has got a chair and he's throwing it at another homeless person and just blah, 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 you couldn't hear what he was saying. Thank goodness. But I was thinking, you know, man, if I was as low as a homeless person, I'd try to have a little more humility than throw chairs at people. You know, I'd be begging for food, I suppose. But it was so disturbing to see that person's personal right of just normal respect being violated. Somebody throwing a chair at them and then just in their face and just so mad. That's a disturbing thing, is it not? And we as true red-blooded Americans, we believe in our personal right of respect, don't we? And we should in one sense, but you could take that too far, can't you? I'm an American. I demand respect. I'm telling you, there's not hardly any countries or citizens in the world that respect Americans. Did you know that? If you do any traveling around the world, you'll find that out real quick. You know, what is this? Well, I demand my personal respect. Here, you have personal respect being violated. Notice Jesus says, when it comes to your personal respect, when it comes to somebody attacking you personally, he says, give them your other cheek after they have slapped you on this cheek. It could be physical. That could be a physical thing. But you can carry that way beyond the physical, can't you? You know, you ever felt like you were slapped in the face or punched in the gut by something somebody said or did? How should I process that? Well, the person who demands their pound of flesh, or the person who has that competitive spirit that's keeping score, well, they're going to get it back, you see? And you know what happens when you do that? As a child of God, you lose. You just lost the battle. You lost. Jesus said, don't just sit back and do nothing. He says, but whenever you are attacked personally like that, he's saying, don't respond in kind to what they've done to you. You lose if you respond in kind. And the true nature of the Old Testament law of retaliation was to prevent too much retaliation. It was not so you could say, yeah, I got my pound of flesh. You say, have we got an example of that? Yes, we do. And the man Joseph, you remember Joseph, who was Mary's husband? He had his right to get his pound of flesh, did he not? And somebody says, well, yeah, but the Lord told him he was that his wife, his future wife, his wife that he was betrothed to, she was going to have a baby by the Holy Ghost, so he didn't. No, you read it wrong in Matthew 1. He decided before he knew that he would not make a public example out of her. He did not demand his pound of flesh because he was a good man and a just man. He was not in it. Can you imagine that? Here is Joseph. Could you imagine someone engaged to be married, betrothed to be married to someone, and they're looking forward to their wedding day, they're looking forward to their life together, and all of a sudden she comes up expecting? Can you imagine what was going through Joseph's mind? He was a good man. Mary was a good woman. He didn't understand, but before he fully understand, he didn't keep score. He didn't demand his pound of flesh. No, he was a good citizen of the kingdom of God, of which that baby that was coming from the Holy Ghost was the king. He said he was minded to put her away privately. It says he was a good man. Can we say that? You see, his personal respect was slapped. There's nothing worse than a kind of slap in the face than a man who is betrothed to this woman. And all of a sudden, she's expecting a baby. What a slap to the face. And yet, he didn't demand his keeping score. It says, and if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. This has to do with the right of personal justice. It does not say that you're right and that person's wrong. It doesn't say they're right and you're wrong. It just says whenever it comes to your personal justice, the best way to fight back is to give. Oh, listen, I know whereof I speak. I've been practicing law for 20 years now, 22 years. And I can't tell you how many times. It does not mean that you can't file a lawsuit. It does not mean that you can't defend yourself. But when it comes to disputes between individuals, I have sat and begged people. You're only talking about just this little bit here. Just give this little bit. It'll come back this way, and you don't have to worry about the 2 or 3 years that you're about to get into that are going to be such a taxation to your mind and your heart and your emotions, because I've seen it. Listen, this is not saying you can't defend yourself or you can't get involved in something that you didn't intend to get involved with, or that you don't say, okay, I've been injured, and so therefore I'm going to recover this. It's not saying you don't do that. It's talking about your attitude of how you do it. And he says, if you get sued, if your personal sense of justice is attacked, how do you respond? They're trying to take away your coat, which was your inner garment, your shirt. He said, give them your cloak. He said, that doesn't really have a significance to us today. Well, here's the significance. The outer coat was something that was often used as a pledge. If you only had an outer coat left, then that was, we'll see somebody here in a minute, that was the case. But if that's all you had, then that was a possession that was very important. The proverb says that if you took the person's outer coat for a pledge, that you had to return it by the end of the day because that's all they had to sleep in and cover up with. See, we don't understand that because we got 22 coats hanging in our closets, right? I'll give them one. I still got 20. We don't understand that. You know, give one set of shoes away, and some of you got another 30 pair. and you'll remain nameless who have that 30 pair. So, you see, we don't understand this. This person's coat, their cloak, their one pair of shoes, their one shirt, their one undergarment, their one outer covering, that's all they had in many cases. You remember this goes with John the Baptist too, because the people came and said, "What shall we do?" And he said, "If you've got two coats, give one to him that's in need." This is the disciples' Bill of Rights. Listen, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. All right. Let me tell you what that means. The Jews were living under Roman law, and the Roman soldiers had a right that if they were tired as they were marching and came to a village, they could look at any Jew they wanted to, or any, it wasn't just the Jews, it was in any country that the Romans controlled. They could say to the Jew, or to the non-Roman, they could say, "I need you to carry my pack. I need you to carry my sword. I need you to carry my armor. I'm worn out. I've been fighting. I've been marching. I'm worn out." And I'm telling you, the Romans were hated because of this. And they would make the Jews or make the non-Romans pick up their pack and carry it for, they could only make them carry it for a mile. It was the Roman mile or million was a little less than our mile, but it was still a long ways to carry somebody's pack. Think about that. You're there working in your carpenter shop or your blacksmith shop, and a Roman soldier comes along and says, "Hey, you, come, take my pack." "Well, I don't want to." It's a law. You have to. And so you have to drop what you're doing, put his pack on, and he didn't have to be nice to you either. He could say, "Hurry up, I'm in a rush. I need you to run." And so right here, Jesus is saying, if you are impressed, if you become impressed to do something for someone, if it is your legal obligation here that you have to carry the pack of the Roman, he says, then you're required by law to go that mile. And Jesus says, go too. You know, the one way that it's been said is the first mile was out of law. The second mile was out of love. Can you imagine getting to the end of that? Can you imagine the attitude of the person? Who is that Jewish person who is carrying that pack, and maybe the Roman soldier is not being very nice, and he gets to the one, he says, "All right, you're done, take it off." And he says, "No, I'll carry it on for you for another mile. You look tired." What an attitude. That is the winning attitude of the rights of the child of God in the kingdom of God. Amen. The child of God just slayed that Roman soldier by doing that. Think about our attitude. I'll tell you a funny story. I was up in Birmingham the other week for something, and I was walking down the street in Birmingham, and I was standing there. I was in a rush, you know, waiting for the light to change. And here comes this woman walking up, and she has got Girl Scout cookies stacked up above her head. And she's, you know, trying to see, and she, you know, so I just, first of all, I was thinking, well, maybe I'll buy a couple off of her, you know, and she won't be so weighted down. I said, "Ma'am, are those for sale?" She said, no, I got to deliver them. And I said, "Well, where are you going?" I mean, I didn't think she's going to make it. And I said, "Let me carry those for you, you know," and I said, "I promise you I'm not going to take off running." I mean, you know, I can get Girl Scout cookies back home, but if not for sale, just let me carry them for you. So I carried them for her, and she kept eyeing me like, this guy's probably going to take off running with my Girl Scout cookies. So we were going pretty much the same place. And so about the time we got there, I said, "Man, I'd be happy to buy some from you." She said, "Well, I'd sell them to you, but I got to give them to somebody." And I enjoyed carrying those Girl Scout cookies. It wasn't a Roman pack, you know, that I was carrying. But a voluntary attitude. So let me help you. I can't stand it to see when somebody's coming in with food and they're struggling to get in. Hint, hint, young men, a great place to position yourself is out here where the ladies are bringing in their food, and you can help them bring it in. I know some of you do. Praise God for you already. That's the attitude right there. The attitude of saying, "I don't mind helping you. I will give up my right to personal freedom. I will give up my right to personal freedom, and I will help you." That's the attitude right there. And he says, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." That's personal property. He says, there's going to be people that may ask you to borrow or to lend to them. And he says, "I've got something better. Just give to them. And don't demand anything back." He said, "Well, Brother Tim, I got to make a living for my family." He's not saying to forsake your family. But I like what one preacher said years ago, that if you're going to let somebody borrow money or borrow something, make sure that it's not something that you're going to need right away. Because that's when you'll start saying, "I need it back. Get it back to me." You see, that's the attitude that basically everybody in America has. "Don't you touch my stuff. My stuff is my stuff. When they don't even realize that the stuff that their stuff is made of was created by God 6,000 or 7,000 years ago. And every bit of your stuff, ultimately the molecules that make it up, belong to Him. You just borrow it. See if you take it with you when you go. You can't take it. You can't take it. Job said, "Naked came I forth from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither." You can't take it with you. The attitude of the child of God is, it's not really my personal property. Everything I have, everything that makes up me is from the Lord. You see, the right of personal respect. You know, the anti-bullying movement is a big thing today. And I tell you, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's bullies. You know, and our mentality is a bigger bully just comes along and knocks that bully out. That's not what this is teaching right here. This is teaching that we're going to let God take care of that bully. And don't you be that bully. Don't you be that person that's demanding their personal rights to the detriment of another child of God. You see, under the law, you had the right to demand, "I'm going to slap that person back when they slap me." And under the law, you had the right to demand, "I'm not giving you my coat or my cloak. I'm going to defend it all the way to the end. I don't care how much it keeps me awake at night or how long it takes. I'm going to fight you as long as I can." Under the law, it says, I'm not going to give up my personal freedom for anyone. My time is precious. I've got to keep score on my time, and I don't have anything for you. And somebody, the law under the right under the law was that if somebody wanted to borrow something, it's your personal property. You don't have to do anything. No, I'm using this. No. But under grace, it's quite a different privilege rather than a right. If slapped, I will relinquish my right of personal respect. If my personal respect is attacked, I relinquish that right voluntarily. If sued, I will relinquish my right of personal justice. If you need me to go a mile with you, I'll relinquish 2 miles to you. I might relinquish 3. And if you need to borrow something from me, I got a better system. I relinquish my right and my personal property. You can have it. You can have it. You say, how can this be done? As we close, very quickly, look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Probably would do just to read it and make no comment. But I'll probably make a comment. Matthew 26. See, I don't know how I can do this, Brother Tim. Verse 67. "Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" Look at Mark 15 and verse 17. Mark 15 and 17. "And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head and with a reed and did spit upon him. And bowing their knees, they mocked and worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him to crucify him." Has there ever been more of a slap to the face to a more innocent person? There's never been a more innocent person than the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did they do to him? They slapped him, not only slapped him in the face, but they spit in his face. And he did not demand his personal right of one that commanded more respect than any person that's ever existed. He relinquished that right. Why? For a greater cause. So what was that cause? You, child of God. He relinquished that right for you, for the glory of his Father, and to glorify his Father, and to glorify you in heaven one day. Jesus Christ suffered 3 trials in one night. You talk about a violation of due process. He goes before the Sanhedrin, and he's mocked and tried in front of them. And then they send him over to Pilate, and he's mocked once and tried in front of them. And then Pilate sends him over to Herod, and he's mocked and tried. And in all 3 trials, he was declared innocent. Are you listening to me this morning? And he did not demand his right of appeal. He did not demand his right of personal justice. But no, he trusted and committed himself to his Father because there was a bigger thing going on. John 19 and 17. Oh, child of God, you can do it. Because the Savior has set the model for you to do it. He didn't keep score. He didn't have the competitive spirit that was always in competition with others. No, John the 19th chapter, the 17th verse, it says this.
And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha. They compelled him to take his cross and send him along the way. They also compelled a man named Simon the Cyrenian to help him bear his cross. You see, he was compelled to give up his personal right of freedom. He was declared not guilty by all three courts. They had the first court, they had nothing to convict him with. The second court, Pilate declared him innocent, and Herod himself declared him innocent. And yet they compelled him to take his cross and give up his personal right of freedom, and he did. He did it voluntarily.
And then, verse 23 of the same chapter. That's insulting, isn't it? He's been slapped in the face. He's been spit in the face. He's lost his personal right to be able to have personal justice. And he has lost his personal right of freedom. And then if that wasn't bad enough, verse 23 of John 19, then the soldiers, when they had crucified him, they took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. And the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it. It might be valuable. Let us gamble for it. Cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The soldiers didn't say that part, by the way. And he said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. The last piece of personal property that Jesus had left was his coat and his clothes. And there he is, and he's watching them as they take that from him and they gamble over his own clothes, his own personal property. And he didn't demand and say, give it back, I'll sue you. He could have called 12 legions of angels down and destroyed every man that was in that on the whole earth. And he didn't demand that right. Why? Because he was part of a bigger plan. He was part of a bigger purpose. He was part of something greater. And child of God, I say to you here this morning that as a citizen in the kingdom of God, when it comes to your personal right of respect and your personal right of freedom and your personal right of justice and your personal right of personal property, you're part of a bigger plan. You're part of a bigger purpose. And the model is set right here through the Son of God who relinquished his rights for a greater cause. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go on in life with your fists shaking out at other people and your feelings out on your sleeve and crying out and demanding your justice? I want you to know that this one here could have demanded justice from every person in this room and on this planet at all times, and he relinquished that right of justice. He relinquished it for a greater cause, and it's called grace and it's called mercy. And you won't be in heaven one day because you demanded your rights. You'll be in heaven one day because the Son of God relinquished his rights. So the next time you're in the playroom and the matchbox car comes up, mine, mine, mine. And the next time you get that punch in the gut because so-and-so said something about you, or the next time somebody says, I need your help. Maybe they don't deserve your help. That's not the point. I need to borrow this. I need you to go with me. I'm going to think, my Savior, he didn't just go the mile that the law demanded. He went the infinite distance that the love of God demanded. And he finished that work for you and for me. The greatest privilege you'll ever have in the kingdom of God and the focus of peace in your life depends on you having this attitude, the same attitude that the Son of God had. I will voluntarily relinquish my right. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, I could have said this and just sat down probably. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Stop keeping score. Stop demanding your pound of flesh. Stop going even Stevens and come to the kingdom of Christ where we voluntarily, even though we have the right, we voluntarily relinquish those rights for a greater cause, a greater purpose, a greater name than my own to glorify. If you feel burdened to follow the Lord, then you've come to the right place. You've come to a people who I believe embrace the relinquishment of their rights for the cause of Christ. And the worst that we'll ever do to you, if we're walking in that mindset, the worst we'll ever do to you is love you and help you and go the distance and beyond in supportive love of one another. I can't think of any other place in this dark and wicked world that would be better to be than a place like that. So you come forward and make that known.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.